I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. For hundreds of years, Ojibwe people have harvested wild rice in the lakes and rivers of the upper Midwest. They migrated there in search of a place, foretold by Anishinaabe prophecy, where food grows on water.
Wild rice is an aquatic grass, and so it grows in the water, and we harvest it with our canoes.
Jerry Jondro and his partner Katie Brissett own Dynamite Hill Farms. The Michigan-based business produces wild rice, maple sugar, and other traditional Ojibwe foods. Each fall, Jondro travels to Minnesota to harvest rice. But last year, spring storms and floods damaged seedbeds.
A lot of the tribes had actually closed all of their ricing lakes and rivers because it was so spotty.
But the previous year, drought interfered with the harvest.
When there's a severe drought going on, it's really difficult to get the canoes into the lake or the waterways. And then if you're successful in getting the canoe in the waterway, your canoes bottom out.
As the climate warms, both increasingly severe droughts and more heavy rain are expected in the region. So it's getting harder to maintain a tradition that has been central to Ojibwe culture for generations. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
Le Pacifique by Cœur de Pirette from her 2021 album Impossible à aimer. Here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM from Burnaby, playing some Francophone music because today on the episode we are listening to the Franco podcast, which celebrates the Rendezvous de la Francophonie. And today I have the last episode. You may hear them replayed again on other Speak Ups, on the Monday and Tuesday ones, or just elsewhere on the schedule. But for this show, this is it. This is the end. You can go to rvf.ca, RVF, Rendezvous La Francophonie, rvf.ca, to find out more about the initiative, to listen to other episodes of this podcast and other audio material, all sorts of stuff there. So go check that out. And now we will hear the episode featuring Mariette Muller right now. Here we go.
25 years of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. It's time to celebrate. Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Hello, my name is Catherine Fisher, and I had the pleasure of interviewing six bilingual Canadians for this podcast. In this episode, I speak to Mariette Muller, Strategic Advisor to the World Trade Centers Association and Bank of Canada Director.
Good morning, Mariette. So great to speak with you today.
Well, thank you, Catherine. Nice to meet you through the phone.
You grew up in Saint-Pierre-Joli, a Manitoba community with a strong Francophone history. What languages did you speak at home as a child?
We only spoke French at home. We would never speak English, but we learned that in school, so it was not a problem to learn it.
Was there some English out in the community as well?
Oh yeah, there was, but most of the non-Francophones were immigrants who quickly learned English and French. And so it was more natural to just learn the two languages if you were in Saint-Pierre during my day. Now this has changed evidently, but when I grew up, it was the immigrants. It was mostly from Germany, Ukraine, Poland, and they would just learn both languages. So they had the additional challenge of having to learn two languages when they got here.
Were your parents fluent speakers of both English and French?
Yes, I'd say my father more because he went to the University of Manitoba, while my mom grew up in La Brexie, which is even more French community. So her English was, she always felt as if she wasn't as fluent, but she was. I mean, like we always say in Manitoba, you don't have to worry, you catch English, like you're catching a cold, you catch English. You don't have to worry about having to protect the English language in Manitoba. You have to concentrate on protecting other languages.
Absolutely. You are a grand champion of bilingualism. How has your concept of being bilingual changed over time?
Well, when I was a child, I didn't really realize that this was the best gift that I had. You know, I grew up in a great family. That's a gift. Grew up with beautiful brothers and sisters. That's a gift. But being attached to a particular kind of culture, background, you know, a language that was not the majority spoken. I didn't really realize that when I was a child. We went to school and everything in the school was in English because we didn't have the French school when I grew up. We had, as you know, the language was abolished. The right to teaching French in Manitoba was abolished in 1890 and never got back until, well, I guess my little brother in 1972, he was born, and that's when they started to accept having French taught in the school and then eventually French schools and then eventually our own French school division. And this just happened in 1994. Like 1994 is when we had control of our French school division. So it's pretty recent when you look at it, Catherine. And so for me, the gift of bilingualism was throughout my life, throughout my professional life, throughout my tourism life, throughout my friendship life, having the brain able to connect with both sides is a gift. And I'm a big champion of bilingualism, and I'm a big champ of multi-languages. And when people come here, it's not just about French and English for me. It's about keep your mother tongue, like keep that going, because you're opening your child up to a totally different kind of way of thinking, expose them to different ways of life. You're giving them a gift. So I'm a convinced person on bilingualism or multilingualism.
I'm very interested how you became involved in economic development.
Yeah, that was, well, first of all, I come from a family of business. So my dad was in business, my grandfather, my uncle, then of many of my brothers and sisters and cousins also. So it's business has always been important as an economic driver, as something that can also keep the Francophone community strong if you have strong businesses. And I started with the department, which was then called Western Economic Diversification in the federal government, which is now Prairies Can, but it was about developing the West and ensuring that the West had its own kind of economic development plan. So it's a federal department, and I started working there, and I got approached by the Francophone community about this program called CEDEM, which was the Economic Development Council for Bilingual Municipalities. And I was approached, and I finally did leave the federal government to go work there and be its first executive director. So the program was all about the benefits of bilingualism as an economic driver, as a value added. And it was based on, and in those days, you'll laugh, but in those days it was based on New Brunswick, who was attracting call centers to New Brunswick. Why? Because they had a bilingual population, and they were bragging about that and showing it off as a value and just talking about its value. And us Franco-Manitobans were like, wow, they have a bright over there in New Brunswick. So we kind of started copying their way of expressing what bilingualism can bring as an economic driver anywhere in Canada, anywhere. So that's how it kind of started. And I really saw the benefits of that as I moved forward my career and working with investment attraction and FDI, and how the French factor was obvious in many of the businesses we were able to attract from France, from Quebec, because they had a resource that was able to speak to them in French, because they could also have a talent pool that was both French and English. And we never kind of promoted that. So I became very involved in that whole aspect and rapidly saw the benefits. But I had benefited from that chapter my whole life without really knowing that I had benefited from bilingualism as an economic strength for my profession and for, you know, around the world. So how I got involved.
And in your leadership positions, you have been able to open up further doors, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, for example, the whole investment attraction, Catherine, was about using our bilingualism and going into markets that our provincial government wasn't necessarily going into very much, like France, like Quebec, and saying, hey, there's Quebec, but there's also Manitoba, there's Saint-Boniface, there's the rest of Canada. Like, you look around all Western Canada, Ontario, the Maritimes, there's Francophones everywhere, and there's strong Francophones. And we could use this kind of strength to attract businesses from other markets outside of Canada, not just to Quebec, but also to other parts of Canada. Why not? And we know we are not the same thing as Quebec, far from it, but we are different. Some of the businesses were not interested in Eastern Canada. They were interested in Western Canada, but they were worried about having the French service there or being understood and being able to have a talent pool of bilingual people or Francophones that would understand. And we were able to offer that. So we're just an alternative to Quebec. We're not the same thing. We know that Quebec has strong links with France, as they should. And they, with their strong links, are making it more achievable for us to be considered as an option when a French company is looking to expand into Canada. So why not Manitoba? Why not Ontario? Why not, you know, Alberta? Because there are other places where they can function in French if they find the right people to accompany them to their development.
You've said that governments must think in terms of investments, not in terms of costs. Why is this reframing important, in your opinion?
Well, I'm so tired of, bilingual, it costs money, it costs money, I'm really tired of hearing that for the last, since I'm born. So I really, really think that I have seen, and so many people, we have been able to prove that Canada having a bilingual policy, having a bilingual image, having a bilingual brand is a plus. That makes us different from the United States when you're looking at North America. That makes us more rich. It makes us use our links, our connections in the markets that we represent. Multiculturalism is doing the same thing, Catherine, where we've seen people from different backgrounds and different countries come to Manitoba. And because of their relationship with their country, from where they were born, their mother tongue and their country of origin, they were able to facilitate trade. They were able to facilitate tourism attractions, like people coming here because they have those connections. So when you talk about investing in bilingualism, I think it's the minimum that we should be doing, because it started like that in French and English. Yes, but it's absolutely also the Aboriginal languages that we should be looking at. But it's important that we at least, it's only two languages to begin with. Can we just start with that and see how it's not a cost? It's an investment, and it positions us to be able to attract and be innovative in our economic development right here in Canada.
I want to ask you about the Rendezvous de la Francophonie.
Yes.
So 2023 is the RVF's 25th anniversary. You were a spokesperson in both 2017 and 2018. What do you remember about this time, and what does the RVF mean to you?
Well, the Rendezvous de la Francophonie, the RVF, represents for me bringing together people. It's a mobilizing people to celebrate that we do have something to offer to the whole country and to the world, actually. And in 2017, I was with Emmanuel Bilodeau, who was funny, who was a fun light. And there was actually a connection with him in Saint-Boniface now. I live in Saint-Boniface now in Manitoba, Winnipeg, which is the French Quarter of Winnipeg. And he actually had a relationship with that. So that was cool. And then in 2018, I was with Eddie King, who made me laugh so much, and on and off the stage. But when I discovered him on stage, I thought, oh my God, that guy's got it. And he was a lot of fun. Both those two connections were great for me. But also what the dialogue was doing. It was about dialoguing without putting it in a lighter way, not in a, you must speak French, you must be bilingual. Very much of a celebration of what we can, who we are and what we can become. And there was a lot of emphasis on the youth. And that didn't exist when I was in school. And I was thinking, boy, I wish I would have had that, because it's very much of a way to mobilize all the good stuff that people speak about when they talk about Francophonie, when they talk about bilingualism, and how we can all work together. We just have to respect each other and understand that, you know, we've got something good here. Let's keep it going. So I really enjoyed my time with the Rendezvous de Francophonie.
Well, that seems like a beautiful place to end this interview. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for tuning into the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. In this episode, you heard from Mariette Muller, Strategic Advisor to the World Trade Centers Association and Bank of Canada Director.
Hey, welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard the sixth and final, the ultimate installment of Rendezvous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. We've been playing it throughout the month, and you'll hear it other places on the station, other places in the grid, and you can go to rvf.ca for more info and to find out more about the project generally. Almost done with this episode of Speak Up. I've got 9 minutes left, so I'm going to play you a little bit of music, but first I want to tell you about a cool exhibition. This is by Francisco Fernando Granados. The question, who claims abstraction, leads to Francisco Fernando Granados' artworks. Tech Gallery was a familiar space for him as a newcomer student in Vancouver. He combines his exercises in line work and color harmony with an immersive installation of digital prints on vinyl at the Tech Gallery. In his art practice, space histories can be represented in various ways. Come look at his dynamic artwork at Tech Gallery, which is at SFU's Harbor Center campus at 515 West Hastings. Once again, that's the Tech Gallery at SFU Harbor Center, 515 West Hastings. Who Claims Abstraction? By Francisco Fernando Granados. For more information, you can go to sfu.ca/gallery/tech. That's TECK-gallery. /who-claims-abstraction-.html. So just go to sfu.ca/galleries/tech-gallery, or just look up the Tech Gallery, T-E-C-K, T-E-C-K Gallery, or, as I said, swing by the gallery at SFU's Harbor Center campus at 515 West Hastings Street. Okay, let's get to that music I mentioned. This is one of my favorite local artists. She just put out a great new track. We're going to hear it right now. It is called Intuition. This is Shade Owele.
My intuition telling me maybe this is meant to be. Cause every time I feel this strong pull, like this is something I could handle. But all the questions in my mind, asking is this the right time? My whirlwind of imaginations mixed with my infatuations of ya. If I press in, if I lean into it, if I hold fast, will I experience all of the places I've never been before? Fast pace and never changing carousel. My mind is ever rolling, and with you I'm ever flowing. I don't wanna lose this feeling, I don't. So I hold on fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. Hold on fast to the truth. It might be just what I need. Hold on fast to the truth. Can't deny it. You might be what I've been searching for. I try, but I can hide it. Maybe this is what we're living for. Making memories we can't ignore. Oh, oh. A part of me wants to explore a love that lasts more and more. If I press in, if I lean into it, if I hold fast, will I experience all of the places I've never been before? Just one.
See you next week. This is Shark Eyes by Chalcedony.
Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
CJSF is 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.